You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you all for making us part of your Monday through Friday grind. This is the Tuesday show with the Rain and Jays, along with Jay King of The Athletic. I get to introduce myself for the first time as John Corrales of MassLive.com.
Yeah, buddy.
How about that? That's a thing. That's a thing that happened today.
That's so dope. Before you continue, I just want to take this moment because I haven't been able to do it yet publicly, and I'm very excited to do this publicly. I am, as a friend of yours, I'm just really proud of all the work you put in to deserve this opportunity. And I mean, as someone who has done it, in his off time of other jobs with blogs, in his off time of other jobs, and his podcasted, in his off time of other jobs, I know how much you sacrificed, how much you worked to get to this point. And I mean, you bet on yourself. You moved from New York City, and a month later, you have a full time Celtics beat writing job, and that's just awesome, man. So I just want to say that publicly because I've done it privately, but I think everyone deserves to know how remarkable. Accomplished what you've accomplished basically in your off time of other jobs. And that's an incredibly cool thing that people should notice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I mean, that's, I don't know what to say after something like that. A lot of people have said some really cool things. I am very excited. Yes. Look, I started Red's Army 13 years ago, and somewhere along the way, probably 10 years ago or so, I started to realize that this was something that I wanted to do more than what I was actually doing. And over the past few years, I've been really trying to gear myself towards making this leap, really trying to find jobs and whatnot. And there were some low points, no doubt. There were some low points where I thought about just quitting and saying, you know, I'm just going to do my TV thing. I'm doing it. I'm doing well. I'm at a pretty good place. But you know, a lot of people supported me along the way, and now I'm here. And all this means is I got a job. And it's very cool for this to be my first actual full-time Celtics job. But to me, it's right now, it's just a job. I made the team, we broke training camp, and I made the 15-man roster. Now I've got to prove that I'm a player. So that just means that I hope that I can continue to give people Celtics content that they like, and it's going to be on MassLive.com now. The Red's Army is still going to go on, but it's going to go on under Chuck. I'm no longer going to be on Red's Army. My Patreon is going to be shut down, and it's just going to all go on to MassLive, and I will try to do my best to keep up with everyone else on this beat. This Celtics beat, and I'm not just bullshitting here. The people on the Celtics beat are super cool, super awesome. I kind of walked into it a few weeks ago, and everybody's just been cool. And there's a lot of talent. It's a lot of great writing. There are a lot of great scoops and great articles being written. Everybody's trying to – like, everybody's competing with each other because we all have our own outlets. But it's super cool, and everybody's very supportive. So I'm very excited to be doing this, to be on the road – to do all this stuff and hopefully people enjoy the content that I put out. If not, I guess I'll be doing it back on the side when I get fired and go back to TV. So we'll see what happens. But thank you. Really cool of you to say. All right, let's move on here. And so first, before we'll talk about Gordon Hayward talking about his health. That was in the Herald. The Celtics do have a tougher schedule coming up. They have a couple days off. and a practice tomorrow before a game on – or practice today. You're listening on Tuesday before the game on Wednesday. And then we'll just kind of get into the schedule that's coming up. First, Jay, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about the Pistons and the Hawks. And screw the Hawks game. That was just whatever. The Pistons game, though, do you think that was anything more than the Celtics in the second half just running out of gas at the end of a trip? Or was there something in that performance in the second half that makes you think, ah, shit, there's something that I don't like here, and there might be some regression?
I mean, yeah, there was something I didn't like. Disgusting basketball. but I mean, after an 8-game winning streak, it's hard to get too over the top about one loss. But granted, it was a bad loss, but the Celtics played like a team that just didn't have enough on that night. Kyrie was missing layups, which was weird. A lot of guys just didn't seem to have the energy. Marcus Morris missed three-pointers for like the first time all season. So did a lot of his teammates. Basically, the only one who had anything to give was Marcus Smart, who, as he tends to do, tried to drag the Celtics to safety when they were drowning. But, I mean, at this point, it's one loss. At this point, the gross basketball isn't a pattern anymore. It's just a blip. So that's a big change from where it was earlier in the season. And if it's just a blip, that's fine. The winning streak wasn't going to last forever. It was cool while it lasted, but now the Celtics can get back to playing basketball.
Yes, I agree. I thought that the second half, like, yeah, disgusting basketball, sure. The first half I thought was entertaining. The first half, it was a shootout. I mean, it was like, 33 all after the first quarter. They went into the half just down one. So, I mean, that was kind of a fun half. The second half wasn't anywhere near that. Marcus Smart just, he never quits. I mean, has he ever quit? The funny thing, though, was that Marcus Smart shot very well, scored a ton, hit, 5 of 7 from 3, but the Celtics lose. The Celtics always seem to struggle when Marcus Smart is, like, on fire. So I don't know why.
I feel like he only gets on fire when the Celtics need him to. Like there's some switch inside of him that's like, ooh, it's desperation time now. Let's rock. And he rocks. Yeah. That's just kind of how it's been with him. Like, when they're struggling the most, he tends to try to dig deep to do something. And he always does that, but it seems more pronounced when things aren't going well for them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I guess there's a switch or something that makes him just like, okay, they're not scoring, nobody's hitting shots, he'll do it. But that's what Marcus Smart does. Ultimately, I'm not worried about it either. Phoenix coming up. We'll transition into some of the tougher schedule, because the schedule does, not just competition-wise, but grind-wise, the schedule does kind of pick up and pick up pretty quickly, and we'll put some pressure on these guys. In the meantime, if you have a Spart speaker, go ahead and ask it, whichever one you have. If you have the Google or the Alexa or the Siri, you can play the podcast through your smart speaker. Go ahead and ask when you get in your car or your smartphone or in your home. Go ahead and ask your device to play Locked On Celtics. It's a thing that's happening. People are doing it. So go ahead and do that. When we return, a look at that schedule. Stick around for more from the Locked On Celtics podcast. All right, Jay, things get a little bit tougher. Phoenix Suns, not competition-wise, the Suns, they should really trounce, but they had the whole Kelly Oubre mess. Side note, is that trade scenario one of the most ridiculous things you've ever seen?
I mean, getting the wrong Brooks. And not only getting the wrong Brooks, but completing a trade without knowing which Brooks was involved is just absolutely outrageous and hysterical and could only happen in the NBA. I guess it could happen with like the Cleveland Browns or somebody, but that is just a special type of outrageousness. And watching it all unfold on Twitter was just fantastic the other night. I thought that was one of the funnier things I've seen on Twitter, just because like the information, like one side swearing it was Dylan Brooks, the other side reporting even swearing it was Marshawn Brooks. And you're wondering like, what the hell is going on? Why are these reporters have different information? Well, turns out the teams had different information too. And the teams weren't aware of which Brooks was in the freaking deal. How does it feel to be Marshawn Brooks?
Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking too, man.
Like knowing that there was this deal to trade you, but then if it had been Dylan, nobody was gonna trade him. So Marshawn is very clear where he ranks among the Brookses on the Grizzlies roster now.
It's such a double whammy for him, because not only did his team want to trade him, the team that was going to get him said, oh, no, it's him? No, we don't want him. We so don't want him that we're killing the entire deal over his inclusion. That's how bad it is for him. So, yeah, being Marshawn Brooks right now, not great. But in the meantime, they did complete the trade. Kelly Oubre, Austin Rivers, now with the Phoenix Suns. Who knows what's going to happen there. But Phoenix Suns are in town Wednesday. Let's look at the schedule. Friday, they play Milwaukee. Day off, they play Charlotte. Day off after that, they play Philly, which is Christmas. Then they have a day off, and they go on the road for Houston, Memphis, San Antonio on alternating days. And that's the rest of December. And then they have alternating days for the Minnesota, day off, Dallas, day off, Brooklyn. Then they have an Indiana-Miami back-to-back, and it's just a brutal stretch. They don't have 2 days off in a row until January 24th and 25th after this stretch. So more than a month before they get 2 days off, which means more than a month before they really get to practice again. And this is going to be a tough stretch. So beyond this...
Welcome to the beat, John.
That's it, right? Luckily, let's see, which trips am I going on? I think I'm going on that Florida trip. And then that's it. So I'm joining the beat in January. I got one road trip. So it's a nice slow roll into the whole thing. But these guys, they play every Wednesday night. They play, they have a ton of home games, which is great for them. But this grind. So not only does the competition, Jay, get tougher, but this grind of day off, like one day, game, day off, and every other day you're playing, there's no practice time. There's no time. So when things... If there's slippage, this is where slippage tends to show up in the middle of these things, where they haven't had a chance to really get into the practice facility and go through things and really work on some of the things that are slipping.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, they figured some things out recently, and now here come a whole lot of games and some games against good teams, you know, from the 76ers to the Rockets, the Bucks, to the Warriors, to Timberwolves, Pacers. There are a lot of good teams. Raptors, Grizzlies again. Just a lot of quality opponents coming up. And I'm excited to see the Celtics in this stretch. You know, they've beaten up on bad teams. And they've been so impressive doing it that everyone just kind of believes, like, okay, they found it. But I also want to see them do it against good teams. And they've beaten good teams already this season. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Raptors. They beat the Sixers. Like, in good games, they've typically played well. But they also have fattened up recently on weak competition. So now that they're playing better, it'll be interesting to see them against those top teams again and see how they measure up, see if that offense, which has been so damn good lately, can continue to surge even as the opposing defenses get stronger.
Yeah, and the question now is, did the Celtics get a blueprint
from this winning streak, even though it's against bad competition. Do you think they figured things out enough? Do you think they figured out a way to play? And even against better competition, do you think they have now the formula to say, if we do these things, granted, we did it against the Knicks, and it worked very well against them, and it worked against the Hawks, and it worked against the Bulls, but when it comes time to play Memphis, which plays a very, very difficult style of, you know, slow down, grit and grind basketball, when you go and play against Philly, who's got, you know, talented, even though they're getting blown out by the Spurs, they play the Spurs on top of it. Do you think they've got this formula where they know the blueprint for how to play? They're just going to play it at a little bit of faster pace against these good teams.
I mean, if the blueprint is have one of the NBA's best defenses while also notching a 120.6 offensive rating, which is what they've done over their last nine games while going 8-1, then yeah, that's a pretty good blueprint. I'm still curious to see whether they can maintain that level of offense without drawing free throws all the time. And they, like, so much of their offense has come from the perimeter, and they've been shooting threes at a ridiculous level lately. I'm interested to see whether that's real and whether they can continue to shoot threes at that rate, or whether they're due for some regression there, especially as the competition gets better. But yeah, I definitely think from the lineup with Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris in the starting lineup to Gordon Hayward kind of beginning to get his legs back with the bench to, you know, guys beginning to kind of mesh together after what was a rough season for a lot of players on the Celtics roster. I do think they've figured out some things over these last nine games. Whether you want to call that a blueprint or what, whatever term you use, they've definitely learned a lot about themselves lately.
Yeah, I mean, the blueprint was something that Gary Washburn wrote about in the Globe, and I think there is at least some path. I think when it's something we've talked about a million times now, the Marcuses in the starting lineup, I think that blueprint is simply the trust that I keep talking about in the podcast, that they've learned to trust that moving the ball results in good shots, and it results not in any one particular person taking those shots. That's the biggest, I think, takeaway from this stretch, that they've been able to move the ball pretty well, and they've only gotten into some minor bouts of isolation basketball, which is going to happen in every NBA game. So you're never going to have a game that's completely free of isolation basketball. The Celtics, I feel like some of these guys were worried that giving the ball up meant not getting it back. And I think the one thing that we've learned, at least offensively, over the course of this 8-game winning streak, has been give the ball up, move, cut, do the right thing, and eventually the ball will find the right guy. And if it's Marcus Morris for three, that's fine. If it's Morris in a post-up, fine. Tatum on a drive, fine. Like, all of these things that are good shots are finally showing up and presenting themselves, and it doesn't take one guy dribbling 10 times for it to happen. So if there's a formula on offense, that's it. On defense, it's about guys being on the same page. And one thing that I haven't seen in a long time is the type of thing that happened against Dallas when J.J. Barea was driving and one guy was forcing him in one direction, the other guy was thinking he was going to go in the other direction, and he gets a complete red carpet to the lane. Haven't seen a ton of those types of lapses, and I think that's an important part of the defense. So the blueprint on defense, I think, is just communication, being on the same page, understanding what the game plan is. Are we switching everything right now? Are we icing? Are we doing whatever on the pick and roll? Are we dropping back and protecting the rim or guarding against the drive? What are we doing? And if everybody, all five guys on the floor, understand what they're doing, then the Celtics have the talent to do a very good job on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, they do.
All right, we talked about Gordon Hayward. We're going to talk about Gordon Hayward's health, some interesting comments that he made to Mark Murphy in the Herald. We're going to do that after a short break here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Nice piece in the Herald from Mark Murphy on Gordon Hayward, and very interesting quote. I'll read directly from the piece. Go read the whole thing in the Boston Herald. Here's the exact quote. Getting healthy and being healthy is the first thing you have to worry about. When you're not healthy and you can't do the things you want on the court, that's the hurdle I want to go over first, and then I can try and figure everything else out. It's a very interesting quote, Jay, because he says basically flat out, I'm not healthy yet. And that's not to say that I think that he's experiencing pain in the ankle that's not 100%. I don't feel like he's got his full body, like a fully healthy body that can do all of the things that he wants to do. It's just not giving him what he wants to get out of it. So it's an interesting kind of look into what he's dealing with physically still, on top of the stuff that we've seen him trying to integrate and why he's maybe getting stuck when he drives and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we've all seen that he's not 100% right, and we've all seen the times and the growth that he's shown, getting to the paint, becoming a better passer, starting to be more aggressive with off the drive. Like early in the season, he was calling for a screen every single time he caught the ball because he just couldn't beat anyone. Now, a lot of times he's driving off the catch, trying to beat a closeout by himself, which is obvious progress, but there's still another level that he's got, and there's still another level that's going to allow him to go up for lobs and finish in traffic and draw more and more free throw attempts. And as much progress as he's made in other areas, and all of that is very encouraging to come as far as he has since the start of the season, the bounce still hasn't come all the way back. And he knows that, and that's something obviously he's aware of and wants to work on over the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty strong indicator that he's not fully healthy. When we look at some of these quote-unquote breakout performances, like he moved to the bench and he had a nice run, and he had the breakout game against Minnesota. But then he followed that up with an eight-point game that against the Knicks in a win that was it was okay. I mean, he had a decent game there, and he had didn't really play do much against the Bulls, didn't really shoot much or shoot well. Then he had a pretty nice shooting night against Atlanta, and then he had a bad shooting night against Detroit. But in all of those games, he seems to be doing something a little bit more positive. And like you said, he's driving a little bit better, which is good. I mean, he needs to be more confident on the drive. One of these days, and Sam and I talked about it in a post game, one of these days he's going to drive, he's going to like dunk on somebody. And that's going to be the indicator, I think. Someday, and it probably won't be this month, probably won't be till like January, February, or beyond. At some point, he's going to dunk on somebody, and everybody's going to go like, oh, shit, that's the guy. That's the guy we signed. And it was interesting that Jackie McMullen in the podcast she did with Zach Lowe was saying that she had talked to guys who had injuries, bad injuries, and they like players, and they were telling her that he's not right, and it's going to take a while. And they were saying March, like it won't be until March until Gordon Hayward is right. So still a long way to go. And Every time we talk about this, I feel the need to like apologize for getting people's hopes up, because I was on team Hayward like returning for the playoffs last year, and it's so obvious that he was just not going to be able to do that. But long road, but I'm confident. He shows a little bit more positive, I think, in almost every game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can see more glimpses of it. And defensively, he's not getting beaten nearly as often as he was earlier in the season. You know, there was that Utah game where he got targeted a bunch of times. There were other times when he just wasn't quick enough laterally to stick with guys that he should be able to stick with. He's gotten better in that way. He's obviously, his playmaking has shined through lately, especially since he moved to the bench. There are a lot of good signs from Hayward, even though he still has more strides to go.
And I will say that he is being more aggressive looking for his shot, which is something that a couple of weeks ago he was saying he needs to be. And Kyrie Irving said that, I'm telling him he needs to go shoot his shot. I think that was before the Cleveland game that they said that. And he has been much more aggressive coming off of screens, turning and shooting, and doing a pretty good job. It looks more aggressive, and that's going to open up a lot more of the passing lanes, because there have been games where everybody knows he's going to pass because he just isn't confident enough in his shot. And if you know he's going to pass, then they step into the passing lanes and take that away, and he'll have a bunch of turnovers, which obviously you don't want to have. So I do like the positive trend with Gordon Hayward. We'll see how he does as the Celtics progress against Phoenix and beyond. Again, Phoenix tomorrow, Wednesday, and there'll be a practice, so we'll get to see how the guys did, and we'll tell you how that went in tomorrow's podcast. In the meantime, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast enough, if you're a new listener, to subscribe. If you are a regular listener, please give us that 5-star rating and that good review. And of course, share the podcast, spread the word, tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.